in living and fleeing unlivable circumstances, it is worth remembering that our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, was born in Bethlehem, and it is presented exactly as one who would be rejected by many immigration departments today, because he too was a refugee child. He was born of a teenage girl. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' adoptive father, Joseph, and mother, Mary, live in Bethlehem, a town near Judea, near Jerusalem. And we're told that it was their home village. Now, of course, you know the story because we've recently just come through the Christmas season that there were certain magi, wise men, astrologers, who came from the east, and they come to Herod, the Roman client king of Judea. Looking to honor a new ruler, they have determined by a star, and Jesus is identified as the one they have now come to worship. And all this, of course, was bad news for Herod, and Herod acts in this preemptive strike against the people of Bethlehem and the surrounding community, and he kills all boys under the age of 2 in an atrocity that is traditionally known as the Massacre of the Innocents. But Joseph, as we know from the story, has been warned beforehand in a dream of Herod's intentions to kill Jesus, and the family flees to Egypt. And we know from history that Jews fled to Egypt from troubles in Judea. The Holy Family, they were following a very well-worn path that had been traveled by many before them. And for new refugees, as anywhere, life would have been hard. And presumably, Jewish charity and voluntary giving through the synagogue would have been and helped the struggling refugee family. But they would have also been helped out by the kindness of strangers. And it is not until Herod is dead that Joseph and Mary dare to return. And then, when they return, they avoid Judea. Because as the text tells us in Matthew 2, Joseph was afraid to go there because Herod's son was in charge. Instead, they find a new place of refuge in Nazareth of Galilee, far from Bethlehem. So as we look at Jesus' earliest years then, according to the Gospel of Matthew, his earliest years were spent as a refugee in a foreign land, and then as a displaced person in a village a long way from his family's original home. Jesus was a refugee and a displaced person. So pause for a moment. What do you think? Imagine for a moment. Do you think that the legacy of being a refugee and a newcomer to a place far from home is something that may have informed Jesus? That may have informed his ministry. When he set off on his mission, there is something that informed Jesus' teaching. And he took up life of a displaced person, and as Matthew says, with no place to put his head. And he asked those who acted for him to go out with a bag or a change of clothing, essentially to walk along the road like destitute refugees who had suddenly fled. And relying on the generosity and hospitality of ordinary people whose villages they would enter. And it was the villagers' welcome, or not, to such poor wanderers that showed which side they were on. So Jesus instructs his followers. He says, if any place will not receive you and refuse to hear you, shake off the dust of your feet when you leave, for a testimony to them. Hold that thought. Just hang on to that thought for a moment and consider the larger biblical narrative. There are different Hebrew words used for stranger in the Old Testament. One of the main ones, the big ones, is ger, ger. And it is often translated as sojourner, as a person from one land who lives among the Israelites. It's used some 92 times in the Old Testament with clear instructions that the sojourner is to be treated equally to the citizens of the land. And that's the word that is used in Leviticus chapter 19. And it's on the screen now behind me, and I'm going to invite you to read it together with me. Do not take advantage of the foreigner who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites, and love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners living in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The Israelites, they were to care for the widow, for the sojourner, for the orphans, for all those who were in the land. And as we transition to the New Testament, we see that in Jesus Christ that we again gain a full understanding and a fuller understanding what it means to understand God's mercy and to walk as a disciple of Jesus. We are called to practice love, in fact, even for our enemies. We are graciously to attend to those in need, as Jesus himself did. That Luke's reporting on Jesus' ministry, as we heard read from Luke chapter 4, shows Jesus' emphasis on liberation from oppression of all kinds. And that the Apostle Peter reminds us that as Christians, we are now to live as, get this, foreigners in a strange land, with a powerful testimony to share with the world. Now, the testimony of our Latin sisters and brothers, they illustrate how when the church reaches out to migrants with acts of love, they are bringing good news. They are bringing good news, giving them opportunity to meet Jesus and finding renewed hope and direction in their lives. The primary theme, or a primary theme, running through both testaments, old and new, is that God's people are to remember that God cared for them and saved them when they themselves were helpless. And as a result, that God's people are to care for the helpless and for the marginalized, since we know what it is to be mistreated, since we know what it means to be displaced. God's people are foreigners and strangers in the world, and for that exact reason, we are called to open ourselves, and to be hospitable to the stranger. Now, 2,000 years later, with refugee crisis going on all over the world, we remember that the very existence of Jesus calls us to see the presence of God in all people. When we see those who migrate and flee and seek refuge across borders, we see the images of God in them. No more, no less than any other person. According to the United Nations Refugee Agency, there are 68.5 million refugees, people currently experiencing displacement. In the last 20 years, the number of people displaced globally has almost doubled. Today, as we look at it, 20 people are newly displaced every minute of every day. That's 28,300 people being displaced every day from their homes. And as followers of Jesus, we see the presence of God in the least of these. In the Rohingya Muslims who are being slaughtered, in Syrian refugees that are seeking shelter, in Central American migrants fleeing danger, in children of immigrants to Canada or to the United States, in undocumented or what is called creatively documented aliens who are finding sanctuary in churches, in the thousands of others across the planet. As God's people, as those who love Jesus Christ, we are called to live as pilgrims, actually, foreigners and sojourners in the land, because our primary citizenship is in the kingdom of God, not in the nation state. Now, I'm a Canadian, all right? and I love hockey. And I love cheering for the Canadian hockey team, but it doesn't mean anything. My primary citizenship is not that of being a Canadian, or for you, dear folks, of being an American. It is not your primary citizenship. It is in the kingdom of God, that we belong to Jesus, that we belong to something far bigger that transcends nationalities and race and borders. We belong to Jesus. That's primary. Because we know what it's like to be foreigners and sojourners and to care for and be cared for by God, we are called upon to care for those who live as foreigners in the land in which we live and to treat them well. Now, some of you may yourselves know this experience from, you know, just from personal experience. Perhaps you were a refugee. I am the child of refugee parents. My parents both experienced the horrors of war and displacement experienced by victimization and persecution. My grandfather died in a concentration camp. There is an understanding there of I'm only a generation removed. But let me tell you, as I talked to my parents, they also experienced the healing presence of God through the church as they migrated and settled in a new country and found a loving community that embraced them and took them in and allowed them to become part of that community. Many Latin American Anabaptist churches were begun by sojourners and by migrants. And many who initially became a part of the Anabaptist congregation experienced displacement in their own lands. And they knew the challenges of being foreigners in the land, but they also experienced God's faithfulness in their very lives. And now they are becoming and welcoming other migrants into the communities in which they have formed. There is much hardship experienced in leaving one's home to arrive in a new land. It is hard. Worsham Shire, he has written a poem called Home, and he writes, "You only leave home when home is the mouth of a shark. You only leave home when home won't let you stay." Home becomes the mouth of a shark, for example, when crime and internal warfare make it too dangerous to stay, when the economic policies and practices of national and foreign governments, corporations and banks make it too hard to make a decent living, when religious, social, or political intolerance make it too difficult to live by conscience, and when race and when social class become causes for exclusion. Even eating becomes an issue because a struggle, because of the lack of resources, being at the mercy of others makes one feel helpless. And going from door to door to beg for food or bread or water or clothing and begging for a place where your body and spirit can rest, it can, of course, lead to despair. And that portion of the biblical text which reads, "Because I was hungry and you fed me," it becomes vital for all people. It is necessary that those who know Jesus welcome the stranger and say, "You may be welcome here and live with us and among us." See, as we hear the news of a broken and breaking world, we remember that God came down to earth in the most unlikely of ways. When we see the picture of drowned refugee children on beaches or shell-shocked toddlers stunned with ashes on their faces and babies carried in their parents' arms across borders, we remember these two are the face of Jesus. They are the face of Jesus. And as we recognize Jesus in all these faces, I pray that we are moved to act, that each time we welcome the stranger, no matter where they come from, no matter what they've done, we are welcoming the presence of God with us. Every time we welcome a stranger, we are doing that to Christ Himself. And as we do this, we find that our own hearts are changed. And we see that the light coming into the world, and we see the darkness, it cannot overcome this. The El Paraiso Mennonite Christian community in Caracas, Venezuela, is involved in food distribution to their community. They believe that Anabaptist Christians today are called to follow Jesus in this ministry of justice making, and that includes welcoming migrants. In Latin America, Anabaptist churches are composed of both those who have been migrants and those who welcome migrants. It isn't easy. It isn't easy to be or to have been displaced, nor is it easy to welcome the stranger. But God is faithful in the midst of these stories of uprootedness and of change. The Riojaca Mennonite Church is also involved in welcoming migrants from Venezuela. They are reaching out to those who are escaping the devastating effects of the political corruption of inflation and poverty. And this church is living out the gospel message by inviting migrants to join them in becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. These are our sisters and brothers that make up Mennonite World Conference. These are our sisters and brothers. And this is how they are responding to the needs around them. There is much evidence in the world today of God's faithfulness that is seen in the resilience and in the courage, the generosity and faith of those who migrate and those who welcome them. The experience of arriving in a new land and of being cared for on arrival becomes a gift. It's a gift of mercy. It is a gift of God's grace that comes to us from Jesus, is lived out through us, and is shared with the world in which we live. Inspiration and hope come from the Holy Spirit working in and through the body of Christ. There is blessing of being sustained by the prayers of those who have stayed behind and of those who have received the migrants. A blessing of the assurance of God's faithfulness that has come to us again and again and again and again. Migrants find hope that sustains them in the assurance of God's presence through the prayers and love and practical assistance in the places where they arrive. There is much blessing provided by our Anabaptist sisters and brothers who come and welcome migrants with church projects where local churches are involved, or we're involved with organizations like MCC. Mama Siska shared with us before how together with MCC and Mennonite World Conference and many of the local conferences, how people have responded to the crisis among the Kasai region in Congo. It is something that we cannot do, right? It is something that calls us within us because the Spirit of God is within us, working toward that end because that's how God is. The God of compassion and mercy. Let me tell you one last story. Charles Baraka and his family were Congolese refugees who fled to Malawi and became connected with the Mennonite Brethren Church there. Do you know them, Mama Siska? Well, this past fall, James Taves, a pastor from Nanaimo, British Columbia, was in Malawi with MB Mission. And where he met Charles, and soon after, the Baraka family were accepted as refugees in the United States, and they landed in Wisconsin. So James contacted me in December, and he asked, "Do we have a connection in Wisconsin?" And we were able to make a connection with a Mennonite congregation in Madison. And they have now connected with the Baraka family and are helping them settle in America. This is what the global church can do. As one person shared with me last week, there is much joy in connecting Anabaptist church congregations to one another. So there you had this Congolese family. They moved to Malawi. There's a pastor from BC, connects with them there, contacts me in Winnipeg, we connect with somebody in Wisconsin, and somehow this connection is made together because of the mercy of God. That is the mercy of God at work through the people of God. There is blessing provided by migrants who arrive and bring their gifts, because all people are gifts. And they bring their gifts to share with people and churches in their new homes. Our churches have confirmed the truth that is stated in Hebrews 13, that in showing hospitality to strangers, they have indeed received the visit of angels. That is the ministry our sisters and brothers in the Mennonite World Conference carry with one another. It's a ministry in which we participate. And this is the ministry in which we are invited to share. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for His profound and marvelous gift. I have the privilege of meeting people like Mama Siska and others, where we sit together and our lives are deeply, deeply enriched because of that. I have come to believe very deeply that all of us, have an incomplete understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We have limited understanding, we have limited experience, and when we encounter our global sisters and brothers, they give us a window into what it means to be a devoted follower of Jesus. When we sit with our Congolese, with our Peruvian, with our Indian, with our Japanese and our Indonesian and German and Swiss, all these people coming together and each one looking just a little bit different, each one praying and describing and expressing their faith in Jesus just a little differently, and then we sit back and we say, wow, I didn't see it that way. We come together as the people of God in all its diversity. I heard somebody talk last year, and he said, when we look at the diversity of the world, God is to blame, he said. And he's right. When you look at the variety of plants, the stream of stars, the varieties that are there within creation itself, God is responsible for the diversity, as he is among us. What a gift it is when somebody is different than you are. It would be terribly boring if everyone was like me or you. But we come together in the name of Jesus because Jesus reconciles all things in heaven and earth and under the earth, everything, so that we may come together to follow our Lord and Savior into the world as a demonstration project. That's what we are. We're a demonstration project to the world of what the kingdom is looking like. And people want to say, you want to know what the kingdom looks like? Go look at Groffdale. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. May God have mercy on us that we would be such a people. Thanks be to God. Amen.